Hey there, welcome to the Cami Pentecost Podcast. Let's talk about leadership, business, life lessons, and everything in between.
All right. Let's get started, Bill, shall we?
Yes. It's good to be together.
I love it. And I'm so excited because I know that this isn't the last time either. Hi, everyone. This is Cami Pentecost, and I am so excited to talk with you today on all things money matters, money mindset, strategy, and everything in between. And if you didn't hear the first podcast that Bill and I did together, just really laying a foundation of how to manage your money and giving you guys some advice on where to go for the area that you want to work on. And then we put a survey out and asked you what did you want to learn more about? And so that's kind of how we got where we are today. But before we get started, I want to go ahead and introduce you to my very good friend. I'm going to start calling him my lifelong friend, longtime friend, Bill Johnson. And a little bit about him, you guys, he's been a certified financial planner for 31 years. Like, that's a whole lot of time. And his knowledge and expertise spans so many different areas. I know all you do for me, and it's so many things, but whether it's tax planning, estate planning, retirement planning, or you just want to learn how to be smarter with your finances, Bill is your guy. And actually, you guys, it was quite a gift that Bill became my financial advisor, and I don't take that for granted at all, but he's also become kind of a life mentor for me, and I'm so very thankful and grateful. And when he said he was willing to do some series of financial planning, money talk things with my listeners, I couldn't be more excited. So I get to share him with you. And so today we're actually going to be, you asked and we listened. So today Bill is going to be sharing with us how to choose a financial advisor. For those of you that are like, wait, how do I find a Bill? Those of you that have questions about just different investments, opportunities out there. And then we are also going to talk about the most common financial mistakes people make. So we want to help you avoid those potholes if at all possible. And if I get a look on my face like this, it might be because I'm realizing I need to do something different. So there's that. So Bill, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us anything you want us to know, a fun fact, something about your family, especially for those that hadn't caught our first episode yet and they still have to go back.
Okay. Yeah. So I live in Grand Rapids. I've been here about 20 years. That's kind of how you and I obviously met, and wife. And here's kind of a funny fact that some people don't know. My wife, Colette, who's awesome, she's also a financial advisor. So in our family, the kids joke about the dinner conversations about Roth IRAs and stocks. And my wife will say she bought a stock. I mean, like, that stock's no good. And the kids are thinking, they tell us, nobody talks about this at dinner, like having two parents that are, you know, financial people. And I do a lot of motorcycling. I do adventure motorcycling. I do a lot of bass fishing. We have three children, all awesome. And I love living here in Grand Rapids. But as you know, my 30 years as a financial advisor, just the way kind of God has blessed me. I also do a ton of work in the church world and currently working on a doctorate through Indiana Wesleyan. I do a lot of preaching, coaching, leading, a lot of vision with churches, some small, some medium, some large. And so God has kind of put me in this place where I get to do all these financial advisor things, which are awesome. But then I get to come along and do the spiritual side of where people are a lot with larger church pastors because of what they face. And so I love that God lets me do what he's gifted me to do. I tell people I'm kind of like the Joseph character. God's gifted me with money, but that's just a means to have more spiritual conversations and be where people are. So I'm not very exciting. As I've told you before, I'm not a very exciting person, but this is what you get. And there's no screen that fits my whole beard, Cami. I'm trying to see if I can somehow get a screen that fits.
Well, you guys, I don't know that you expect your financial planner to be like always cracking jokes and super creative, exciting. So I'm kind of glad you're exactly who you are because you fill the role that God knew I needed.
Thank you.
All right, Bill, well, let's just jump right into it. I mean, You want to start with mistakes people make, or do you want to talk a little bit about how to find a financial advisor?
No, I think that mistakes one is good. And as Cammy has said, if you haven't watched the other one, you'll hear a little bit of a maybe 50,000 foot or kind of the philosophical kind of conversations. And this is where it kind of gets a little more kind of grounded. So I want to walk through just a couple mistakes that I see. I think the first one is we all have a little bit of a fear that often keeps us from either going to the doctor or the dentist or the financial advisor. We know we don't know as much as we think we should, which is always interesting to me. That's why you have a financial advisor, is you want a person that knows all those things. But there's this kind of overarching fear that I'm going to be exposed or feel uncomfortable. And we're going to talk about how to choose a financial advisor, but that should be one of the first things the financial advisor does, is they should make you feel comfortable. There should be chemistry there. And we'll talk about that. So mistake number one is just a fear of going to see a financial advisor. And that is very real. The thing about fears I've learned is we can talk all day that they're shouldn't be there, but they also are very real. So I think what I would encourage people to do is give yourself some grace and say, I'm a little bit afraid to go see a financial advisor. Tell yourself that's okay, but I still know I want to go see someone to help me do the things that you and I do, Cammy, because having a financial advisor is no different than any other place in your life. We hire a fitness coach. We hire a business coach. I have a counselor. I pay when my emotions and my spiritual life is in turmoil. I pay him because that's what he helps me with. And so paying a financial advisor, I think, is a place to go. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of that. That's okay. Second is, I think there's a part of, like, I know this sounds weird, but when I sit in my doctor's waiting room, I get the same feeling I think clients get when they sit in my waiting room, like, what's he going to ask me or what's she going to ask me? And it's okay to not have all the answers. Don't think that in the first meeting that you have to be ready to have all the answers. You just want to have somebody you can have a conversation with. So don't be afraid if you don't know every single thing and you don't have your budget and you don't know your insurance policies and you can't find your investment statements. Don't worry about that. A good financial advisor will help you kind of navigate that. So be okay being uncomfortable. Probably the third is, and you talk about this so much, this, you know, I watch your dream boards and I love this dreaming. And what happens in some of us is we have this dream board of these deep aspirations of where we want to be. And then we look at where we are and we feel the gap. And we're almost, I don't want to use the word, but we're sometimes a little embarrassed. Like, I'm not where I need to be. Don't let that stop you. A good financial advisor will help you clarify that dream board and then start working you backwards and saying, what are the steps I need to do to get there? So don't be embarrassed. Go see the financial advisor. I think I see both extremes. People that maybe are in more the debt consolidation, the I don't have any money, they'll say, well, I don't even have money. What do I need an advisor for? I'm like, you need one. You need one. And then those that start to have more resources, they need one for different reasons. They need more wealth strategies and custom portfolio design and someone that gets their generosity and things we call value-based investments. I want to own investments that reflect not just my money, but my heart. I want investments that fit who I am. So there's this thing sometimes in the extremes that I either don't have enough or I have so much and I don't need one. And I know it's my profession, but I would probably argue you still should be having someone that helps you navigate those. So let me stop there, because you're always so good about kind of conversing back and forth with me. How do those sound to you? What questions? What are your thoughts about those?
I definitely agree that no matter how much you have, having a financial planner is the right thing to put in place for someone that knows they're ready for more or they have aspirations for more, so that you don't have to go back and, you know, fix things. You can really start from the very beginning. And I love what you said is as what you have grows, so your needs change. And I want you guys to know, like, I've been working with Bill for several years now. And last year I went to this conference and was looking for some ways that I could give. And there was some strategies that would also give me tax savings. And I was like, okay, I'm being generous and I'm saving on taxes. But just hearing that guy say those things made me go, oh, I got to talk to Bill about that, because that sounds interesting. And maybe that is something I get to take advantage of, you know? And so again, it's like those of you that don't go see a personal trainer because you feel so overweight and out of shape.
Right.
That doesn't mean you don't need a personal trainer. And yeah. And don't wait till you start, well, let me lose 10 pounds. Let me start getting on. Yeah. No. This is what their job is. And they're not surprised by any of it, because that's what they work on every day. So if it's important to you, you'll invest in it. And it doesn't hurt to just go have an interview or a conversation, I guess I would say. And then Bill, I loved you saying you don't have to have all the answers. Because for me, you guys, I'm very unorganized in that area of like, yeah, what are all those things? But because they will have lists of those things, they can help you get organized. So don't let that be something that stops you, because I'm really passionate, Bill, about helping people financially make sound decisions. And as people start making money, which many of my listeners are starting to grow their income. And then I thought when you talked about the dream board, I just had to say, guys, why not put on your dream board how much debt you want to pay off? Why not put on your dream board how much you want to have in savings? And why not put a target of how much giving you want to do, generosity? And those would be some really cool aspects to add to our dream board practices. And that's probably not something I've ever done. So there's that. I was having an aha myself.
And it's amazing, the emotions of investing. They can be good for us. The idea, as you've talked about winning and growth, ideas, emotions about vision and generosity, but emotions can also work against us in our financial world. There's often, if you've not been raised, I've had a lot of people come to me who just say, look, this was never taught to me. My parents lived very, you know, differently, and no one ever said to me anything about savings and so or investing. And so there's often a little bit of a feeling that like you might be exposed, or this will show that I don't know something. And none of us ever want to feel like we don't know things. But just in this arena, it's those fears of not thinking we know things that can often keep us, those bad emotions that keep us, because the financial advisor you get should basically help you get those pushed to the side and out of the way and say, let's get those positive emotions working so that we get to where you want to go. And I tell clients all the time, I said, as a financial advisor, we're going to have conversations. There's always going to be a money conversation. There's smart financial things to do, but then there's going to be an emotional, spiritual conversation. And money doesn't trump everything. You and I both know, Cammy, it's the spiritual, emotional that are just as important, and maybe the spiritual side for sure is even more important than always the money decision. So that financial advisor should kind of help you navigate some of those emotions too. So don't let the fear and anxiety and the feelings of inadequacy and stop you. You'd be surprised the clients that I have had that are absolutely brilliant industry leaders in whatever their vocation is, and they don't know squat about money. It's just something about it. And that's okay. Don't think because I know all of this, I know that as you teach people so much about building up their income and all of that's great. It's okay to not know about money. That's why there's people like trainers and dietitians and everything else to help us. We hire them to help us. So I agree with you.
And you know, it's funny because when I saw that we were going to talk about the most common financial mistakes people make, I mean, I thought we were going to talk about things like, you know, those of you not tithing, that's a big mistake. Those of you not saving, another big mistake. Those of you just maxing out credit cards, big mistake. I like the direction you took it, because really in order to not make mistakes, we got to learn about finances, and finances can be scary. And so a financial planner will be a great coach. So how do we go about choosing one, Bill?
That's a great question. So let me give you a couple of things. And if folks, you haven't watched our other podcast, we kind of talk about these three groups of people. Like one group is you're in that just getting kind of debt covered. You want to get the debt paid off, build up some reserves. The second group, you start kind of investing money and you're going to put some of that to work in actual investments. And the third group is you've kind of doing really, really well and generosity and giving. Those three groups kind of need a little bit different probably type of advisor. So if you're not aware of the name Dave Ramsey, Cammy and I have talked about, Dave, you can actually go to Dave Ramsey. I'm not endorsing this, but he has a website and you can actually hire a Dave Ramsey advisor. They've gone through Dave Ramsey's training. And so they'll help you. If you're in that first category and you're trying to get debt going on, I would certainly tell you, find a Dave Ramsey advisor that you can hire and help you, because they're masters at helping you get the debt piece done. So once you get that and you build up the cash reserve, I think the second area you would want to look for a certified financial planner. And you could just Google certified financial planner, go to the website, click find an advisor, put your zip code. There'll be a list of all the advisors in your area that are certified financial planners. Now, what that means, just so you know, that means that they, you may have heard the term in the medical field, that a doctor is board certified. That doesn't necessarily mean he's the best surgeon in the world. It just means he has passed rigorous standards to be considered certified in those. So a certified financial planner will help you look at your insurance and your investments and your taxes and your estate plan and your budget and your return. They'll make the whole thing. They'll help you navigate all of that. So if you've got the debt paid off, you've got the Dave Ramsey advisor, then it's often time to maybe turn to the certified financial planner. Now, those come in a different couple different kinds. Some you pay a flat fee, some you pay an hourly rate, some work on both commission and fee. And if people want, we could even do another podcast on like how to choose that and what that matters. There are ramifications, but choosing a certified financial planner is your starting point. And then you just ask them, how do you charge for what you do? That's a simple question I usually tell people before they even ask, because I've done this a long time. So you want to find out what kind they are. And then you just ask the simple question, why are you that kind of advisor? Whatever they choose and whatever they tell you, you want to know what kind they are. And then the third group is, once you start to build up more wealth, you move beyond kind of the traditional, everybody gets mutual funds, you have some stocks, you have some bonds. Once you get beyond that, now you start to have custom portfolios. And that's where you look for an advisor that is a what we would call a wealth manager, a custom wealth manager. And that's a conversation, Cammy, you and I have had, where we say, look, there's things we want to own. I have values about things. I don't want certain investments in my portfolio that don't reflect my values. You can actually have a custom advisor build portfolios, not just to make you money, but that reflect the values that you, your faith, your other issues that we have. And so that's a more custom wealth manager. And then that would be word of mouth. You'd probably want to go to somebody, I know this is strange, but maybe financially above you, a couple places that you know have wealth, and say, who do you use and why do you use that person? Can you tell me your person? And so you would have to almost get that one probably more through referral and some word of mouth to find out, why do you use that person for that custom wealth piece and maybe not another. So let me stop there. That's a lot of technical stuff, and I don't want us to get too technical, but a Dave Ramsey advisor, a certified financial planner, and then a custom wealth manager are the three kinds: word of mouth, certified financial planner website, and the Dave Ramsey website. Let me stop there, Cammy. Like I said, you're always good about asking me questions, and what do you think about this? So go ahead.
I think the majority of us here are going to be at the space where they're like, I got to get my money in order. Maybe you already heard our first episode and you decide to jump on this to see what else you could learn. I would say, if you have not gotten the 10-10-80 plan we talked about in the last episode in order, if you haven't started the snowball of paying down debt and putting away your rainy day savings account of 3 to 6 months, like, go get your Dave Ramsey advisor. Like, that's what you need right now, so that you can start getting on in a position to have just healthy finances, I guess you could call it, and a plan. So guys, here's the deal. If you've been listening to me for a while, you've heard me say this before. If you don't tell your time where to go, it's going to go somewhere. And that's the same with a budget. If you don't have a plan for your money, it is going to go. Where? I don't know. And so, you know, money is a very important thing. And so you want to make sure you're taking care of it and you know where it's at and you know how it's going or where it's going, so that you don't look back one day without retirement, with heavy tax burdens, you know, and just lots of debt that you never wish you had accumulated, you know, and that's why we're advising you to get an advisor. So many of you are going to be starting with the Dave Ramsey. Some of you, though, that are on here are listening because you're like, Cammy, it has been and is in the direction of where I want to be. So it's almost like you're getting a referral from me. And that is that middle person where you start having the, what did you call the middle person?
Certified Financial Planner, a CFP.
CFP. And guys, that should be a part of your budget when you're starting to make money. Because again, remember, you can do anything. You can't do everything. And if you're really good at this thing, which is why you're so successful, keep that thing the main thing and hire someone to help you in that, in this area. And then he said, go to that website. And so I love it. I love it, Bill. Is there anything else you want to say about choosing a financial advisor? I do have a question though. So here's the, which one of those are you? You're not the Dave Ramsey guy.
Right. So I have expertise and license to do all three. I do very little of the first one. Now I do almost all custom wealth management. And then because of the way my fee works, I actually, as part of managing that entire portfolio, I do all the other things that a CFP does, the estate planning, the tax planning, the, when you and I had conversation about how we're going to give money away, are we going to give cash or stocks or what, that's part of that tax part, retirement planning. So yes, I'm about one third a CFP and two thirds custom wealth management. Yeah.
And so that helps me know this third one. That's where I'm at, guys. That's in my space. This is why I have this relationship with Bill, because that's where I'm at. And you know, I was once married once upon a time. And so, you know, I had done the whole, what do you call that? Estate planning type stuff, you know, doing your will and trust and things like that. And obviously that needed to be updated after I went through my divorce. And those things are extremely important, you guys. And it's not fun to talk about, but they're important, especially as your portfolio grows. And again, if you don't tell your finances where to go, they're going to go somewhere. Right. And so planning on where your finances are going, even after you're gone, and making sure they're going in the right places to, and is super important. All right, Bill.
So let me go, because so once you do that, so you go to the CFP website and you find 18 advisors in your area code. The next thing you do is something my wife has taught me and my daughter, which is what, Facebook stalking? Is that Facebook stalking? Like you go, like you find out, you see their name and then you Facebook them and you start to see, does this person have similar values as I would have, right? You are trying to look to see, you know, wherever they are in life, you kind of maybe want to see if an advisor has some similar values. And so often, you know, they'll go, you can go kind of look at that. And then what you do is most all of them, myself included, you can email them right through their website. So you just, it says, you know, email your the contact and if and you email them, say, hey, my name is Cammy. I'm looking for a financial advisor. This is kind of where I am in life right now. Is this something that interests you? And I don't know a single financial advisor that charges for their initial meeting. So there's no charge. It's part of what we do. So you are going to set a time and you're going to meet with that person. And what you're going to look for, in my opinion, I go back to it, are the three C's. Character. Do you sense that the advisor has character? Because you and I hear stories all the time about things that financial advisors have done that are low character, right? They've taken money, they've done things. So you want character. You want competency. You want to know that they're competent. And that's part of what a CFP does. They've proven some competence. But as you interact with them, you just want to get a sense. Do I think this person knows what they're talking about? Is this, you know, a salesperson telling me things, or do I sense there's more substance? So character, competency, and then chemistry. You're going to be with your financial advisor theoretically your entire life, and you have to enjoy getting together. If you find that the person, you just don't feel initially comfortable in that first meeting, you don't want them as your advisor. You need to know that there's going to be comfort there. And I think I'm going to talk a little bit, give me a little grace here, because my wife has been so helpful in understanding a female perspective, that you want a financial advisor, if you're a woman, that understands women's issues, that understands that men and women think about money often differently, and that it will talk to you. Like, I've had story after story that couples come in and they will say, well, I talked to so-and-so and the advisor never even looked at me. The woman is saying, it's never even looked at me or talked to me or asked me a question. That's wrong. Your advisor should have a chemistry piece that makes you both, if you're married, but or if you're single, makes you feel valued and your voice heard. So if you sense there's not a chemistry piece, then I would keep looking. So character, competency, and chemistry as you search for that financial advisor.
All right, I'm going to interrupt you for a minute. That is awesome. And you guys, I've had people that were very competent and had character, but there wasn't any crazy chemistry. They weren't disrespectful. They weren't, but it wasn't also something that I looked forward to. Right. And one thing I will say about what I like on how you were, because you're kind of like interviewing, right? That first thing is not going to cost you your interviewing. I really believe there's also a bit of ignorance I have on money. Even though I feel very knowledgeable about money, I still feel very ignorant about money. You guys, I didn't go to school to learn the things that Bill has, especially with the kind of things we're managing and the portfolio we're doing. I also don't know the laws like he does. And so there's just a lot of information there that can be very overwhelming. And so character is so important. So your money's not mismanaged. You're not being stolen from. The competency part is a no-brainer, but then the chemistry part and the comfort that he was talking about. I want to echo that, because one of the things that Bill has become for me, and we always talk about your inner circle, right? Like the people that you spend the most time with. Well, you know, what you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And I would say that's spiritually, financially. I'd say that's physically. I'd say that's mentally, personality, honesty, all the things. And for me, Bill has been one of those people that's in my core with finances. And even the way he stewards finances is where I want to be. He's actually here with how he stewards and the discipline that he has. And I'm not there yet. It also, you guys, very much aligns with how I was raised. And money was just such a, I don't know, like a very important thing. From anything from how we tithe to how we balanced our checkbook, you know, like finances were like a big deal in our home. So I love that you talked about the three C's, and I think you guys, they're very important. And it may take you some time to find one. That doesn't mean they're not going to be competent and have character in helping you right now. I wouldn't say just wait until the perfect, I think I went through three or four before all the, and I think even one was an agency, which was kind of an interim while I was introduced to Bill. So anyways, I would say take your time, but also don't be afraid to get started on your way to finding that perfect fit.
Yeah. And you may remember this from way, way, way back when we first met, but I tell people all the time, the analogy I use is that I am the CFO for my clients. I'm the certified financial officer. My clients are the CEO. And so what makes that analogy so powerful, Cammie, is the CEO does not need to know all the laws and rules. The CEO, as you and I both talk about, doesn't need to know the day-to-day. You don't need to know the day-to-day. You don't need a report from me every 10 minutes. You need to know that I understand your vision. I understand what you're trying to accomplish and where you're trying to go. I understand both your mind and your heart. And that I'm going to design strategies and implement things that are in line with that to help you get there. But at the end of the day, if you ever hire somebody that somehow has a perception that they're kind of above you, like they're the CEO and you work for them, that's not it. They should come in as a person that with all the knowledge that they have, that all of that is meant to serve you and get you to the dream board and understand that, and that they want to do everything they can, not to be the smartest person in the room, but to help you get to where you want to go. And so I use, as you know, the CFO. I work for you. I handle all the day-to-day so you can go do what God has called you to do. And as you know, we're always checking in on things when we need things and all that. But you know, I don't want people to think like every morning you and I do a, like a debriefing report. Like, no, not at all. You got a thing you're doing. And I need to do everything I can on my end to make sure you're doing what God has called you to do. So when you interview that person, if you get the sense that somehow they're kind of like above you, like I'm this, I'm that, that is not the person. They should be the person saying, how do I come up with you and support what you're trying to do as your CFO, because you're the CEO. Does that help?
And someone's sitting here going right now, I don't know what I want. How would I even know what I want? let me tell you what that looks like, guys. It's not fear of doing it. We go back to the fear that you talked about earlier. It is the going in. This person should ask you a lot of questions.
Yes.
They should become a student of you, because they should know that you don't know what you don't know. And that's why you're looking to hire them. And so even today, after years of being connected with each other, when I call Bill with hey, I have this chunk of money and I want to do something with it, he asks me questions. He asks the questions required for him to help me make the best decision possible. So all that to say, many of my followers happen to work in my business with health products. And it's just like someone coming to us and saying, this is my issue. What products do you recommend for me? Right? Like, we ask a lot of questions to find out what that issue really is and what's of greatest importance and how much money they have, so that we can put them in a proper package that's going to be a good fit for them to get their results. And guys, that's what they're doing for us. So just go in and those types of things, they should be pulling that out of you, not trying to show you how much they know. And that just might be a great indicator they're not a right fit.
No, as you said that, I've had people come into me saying, oh, I met with so-and-so and they talked like 90% of the time. That should not be it. In that first meeting, boy, I'll tell you what, it should be 80-20. They should spend 20% of the time talking and asking questions. And if you are given 80% of the time to be answering and they keep asking more and more questions, what is it about that? Why do you like that? What's the fear? Tell me about that. You're getting close to having a financial advisor, I think, that understands you and then helps you get to where you want to go. But if you walk out of that initial meeting going, man, they just never shut up and they talked and talked and talked, probably not the person you want to have.
Oh, that sounds like that sounds like dating.
Oh, we'll talk about that offline.
I have a lot of experience with that. Okay. Who knows when this is going to be listened to by then. Maybe I'll be with my Prince Charming. So there's that. I'll just put it out there. Okay, Bill, we have gotten very off topic, so I will get us back on topic. The third and final piece we were going to talk about a little bit, and I know they're going to have a financial advisor to help them with these things. So we don't want to get too granular with this, but I think just touching on the different kinds of investments there.
Yep. Yeah. And I agree with you. I don't want to get too much into this because they're getting over time, they're getting more complex than ever. They're now hybrids of almost all of these. But just understand from an investment perspective, there's different categories. There's one category called stocks, which is what gets reported on the news. You may see at the end of the day, the market was up or the market was down. That's the market for stocks, or what we hear called the stock market. That is one category of investments. The other category is called bonds, and bonds are very different. So let me kind of help you. Stocks are equity and ownership. If you own Nike stock, you own part of Nike company. If you own a Nike bond, you have lent Nike money. Now, the reason those are important is stocks have more risk and bonds have less risk. But let me be clear, when people hear the word risk, almost always the first thing that pops in their mind is that risk means I could lose all my money. That's usually what a person hears. When I say, are you a risky client? So, oh no, I don't want to lose all my money. Risk is not yes or no. It's not high or low. It's 0 to 10. It's a range of risk. Risk has a range. So there's zero risk, like a savings account. And then there's a 10 risk, like a small startup IPO is a 10 risk. Now, portfolios should have a little bit of all of those, but they also should be particular. Retirement accounts should have a little bit more risk because you can't touch the money for 20 or 30 years. Accounts that you have more need of should have a little bit lower risk. So stocks are a little bit higher risk, bonds are a little bit lower. Portfolio should have a little bit of both of those. An advisor should help you navigate how much of each one of those you should have. So let me stop there first, because we can talk about just a couple other things that go along with investments and net worth.
Obviously, you guys see why you need a financial advisor. I'll just say that. And if we were having a little survey right now, I'd love for you guys to guess which kind of risk taker I am when it comes to financial advising. Bill, give them a quick little answer.
Cami is not my lowest risk client, no doubt.
I'm like, roll those dice, Bill. Roll those dice.
Right. We've had those conversations and I love that. And yes, you are definitely one of my more higher risk, and in a good way, because when people hear high risk, they don't always understand that's not bad. Risk is not bad. It's more of a number that says this matches who I am. And so if your financial advisor tries to make you into something you're not, there shouldn't be your financial advisor. So as you and I've had conversations about risk, I tend to be medium low, just me personally, but that's not for me to put on you. My whole goal is to find out, what do you want? And once you help me understand you were wanting to be higher risk, here's what I do. I try to take as much risk as I can to your goal in the lowest risk way. And that's what I do.
I believe in order to be successful in business, you have to be willing to take risks. You have to try new things.
Yes, yes.
But there are things as calculated risks,
yes,
y'all.
Yes.
And that's the kind of risky investor I am, is a very calculated financial advisor going, this is as risky as you want to be here right now. So that's very helpful. Now, we could get into that all day long, but that's getting off tangent. Keep telling us about a couple of these. And again, guys, what I'm trying to show you is there's so many things out there. You really do need that person that can help you financial plan in the greatest way.
Right. So once you take those two categories, Cami, of stocks and bonds, within the category of stocks, there's 12 different subcategories. So I'm not going to list them all out, but know that there's all sorts of ranges and types. And then there's probably 9 categories of bonds. So that's why, as you said, things start to get complex. What does a financial advisor do? They understand the categories and what's the best risk trade-off for you. But what that leads us to is that the invention of the mutual fund back in the 1940s allowed a person who maybe didn't have enough money to go out and buy a whole bunch of stocks. With literally $100, you can buy shares in a mutual fund that has all of those in one fund. You can have a portfolio, a mutual fund that has bonds and stocks. You can have a mutual fund that has all bonds or all stocks. I think the last number I saw, there's something like 18,000 mutual funds. So what you just recognize that mutual funds are a way to buy investments that match your risk with a much smaller dollar amount than maybe would be accessible for most people. And there's a lot of ways to just kind of go find that in the internet and find, give me best mutual funds. Now, you'll have everything pop up, Vanguard and Fidelity and all those things. But just recognize you don't have to always have a lot of money. You and I talked about the people paying off debt. Once we move past the debt and getting the cash reserves, we start moving into putting money away. You can save $100 a month or even $50 a month with some companies into a mutual fund, which means it's actually going into investments that have both stocks and bonds that match your risk. So the power of a mutual fund is that you don't have to have, you know, $100,000. You can put $50 a month. And it's a great way to systematically build wealth and letting the power of the stock market or the bond market or both make sure your money's not just earning today's low interest rate. So mutual funds are great tools for that.
And is that like an Edward Jones? Because I used Edward Jones for a long time.
So almost all companies make mutual funds. So Fidelity has mutual funds. Vanguard has mutual funds. Mutual funds are a product that brings together the stocks and the bonds. So yes, Edward Jones has them, Merrill Lynch. There's no company I know of, even the insurance companies now, start an investment side and they even have mutual funds. So let's say you've had State Farm Insurance. Now you can actually, State Farm has some mutual funds. If their clients just want to stay with State Farm, they can actually buy a State Farm or whoever. everybody has them. And that's what also makes them a little complicated, because if there's a gas station on every corner, how do I know if that one's any good or right? And then that's what your financial advisor helps you figure out.
Yeah, you guys, this is stepping stones. I was having a thought about how when all I could invest was $50 or $100.
Yes, you guys. Me too. Me too.
Even as we said, many of you are going to be starting with the Dave Ramsey type direction just to get your finances in order. You guys, it's not like when I'm 40 or 50, I'll start financial planning. No. You need to start financial planning now. Right. The sooner you start financial planning, the more risky and the more return you can have, because it's got longer to sit there and earn. And so I just want you guys to know, I don't care where you're at in your journey, how much you make. What we're talking about is absolutely for you. It just might look a little different.
Right, right. Absolutely. And that's the beauty, because nowadays I've even seen some of the ones with the apps and internet base where you can, many of these companies are doing these mutual funds with either very, very, very low commissions or zero commissions. Like you can have an app where I've seen Robinhood and others where you just have your $50 go in and there's not even a commission or a fee on some of these things anymore. So right away, instead of your $45 of your $50 going to work because of a commission, all $50 goes to work. So the industry has really made investing much more accessible to feed people with $50 and in a very easy and powerful way. So obviously you can do that on your own. You certainly can. I'm going to advocate for hiring an advisor to help you navigate that. But I don't care what you do, just start doing the $50. It's amazing what it does for your heart after you've been paying off debt. And like me, I had no money to my name, to actually see that I had an investment account, even though it was small by all standards, it did my heart a ton of good to know I was moving in the right direction of building investments. So don't underestimate, as you and I've talked about before, not just putting the money away, but feeling good about I'm investing money. Like I'm adulting, right? I'm adulting.
Well, and you know, Craig Rochelle says, never underestimate the power of small habits. Mm-hmm. And if I go back to the first episode we recorded together, we talked about the 10-10-80 plan, 10% tithing first, 10% saving second, and then we get to spend, live off of, pay down debt on 80, right? And I'm thinking about how just that smallest behavior change can absolutely change everything. And like you had pride in what you call a small investment, that just is that snowball effect Ramsey talks about when paying off debt. And so guys, I will tell you, when you go to the Dave Ramsey website, they'll also, there's probably small groups in your area that are meeting and going through the workshop together. So you can even do it with a group of others, which is significantly less expensive, but gets you started on the right track. There's books and programs that he's got out there, classes that you can take online now in this virtual world we're living in. And all of those will be a step in the right direction. And I think that's what I want to encourage you today is the smallest behavior can absolutely change everything, especially in this area. Cause it gets, I don't know, like you almost get, it gets addictive to like learn a little bit more. And then when you start learning, you're like, oh, I should probably also be doing this. And the answer is, yeah, you should be. But if you don't get started, you won't be doing any of it. So Bill, anything else you want to share with us in the area of, I know you talked about most common financial mistakes people make, how to choose a financial advisor so that we can move forward with confidence. And then you gave us a little bit of a glimpse of what some of those different investment opportunities look like, reminding us how much a financial advisor is important, because it's a lot. Anything else you want to add to those three topics or just in general?
You know, I was thinking about the financial mistakes one. You and I've, you know, I think when you've been around the block like I have, I've made as many mistakes. People see where you are, I am now, and they think you didn't make mistakes getting there. And, you know, I went through tough times too, and I was upside down with, you know, owing the IRS $80,000 because like you, I was a independent contractor and I didn't get the taxes right and ran into some trouble. And so I don't want you to think that somehow like I've not been there, or I have, and it's hard. But just know that you really, really can, especially in the business, Cammie, that you and I are in, you can get out. You really, really can get out. And
Bill, I'm going to ask you to say that again because you went out for a minute. So whatever you just said, we saw your lips moving, but we didn't hear anything. Say that again.
Well, what I love about our business, and I work like you do, I don't have a salary. Ameriprise doesn't pay me. I haven't had a salary in 30 years. I've had to go out and make my thing. And so I understand that. And so the beauty of our business is, yes, it has risk and it's hard work and there's days you want to quit and people say they're going to do something and they don't. And there's tons of emotional roller coaster and you feel like they're rejecting you, but they're not and all. But our business is unlike any other that you can get out of that 80,000. If I had to be an hourly steel worker like I used to be, I don't know how long it would have taken me to get out of that 80,000. But doing what you and I do, like going out and doing incentive-based work where people pay us for what we produce, there's huge opportunity to get ahead in a much shorter amount of time. And I'll tell you, I had this conversation. My dad is awesome. My dad is a salt of the earth, wonderful, 42 years in the steel mills. You think about that for a little while. Third generation pipe fitter. And he asked me when I first started selling, you know, he said to me, Cammy, he said, let me get this straight. You can do your job for 30 days. You can be there 60, 70, 80 hours a week, making calls, meeting people. But if nobody buys anything from you, you don't make a penny. And I said, that's exactly how it is. And he looked at me and said, I couldn't do that job. And I said, Dad, let me ask you a question. If you and your construction partner, they were pipe fitters, if you lay more pipe, footage of pipe, if you lay twice as much pipe as the guys next to you, do you make any more money? And he said, no, I only get paid by the hour. I said, I couldn't do that job. I couldn't produce twice as much and make the same as the person next to me. I want to get paid on what I produce. And that's why I do what I do. So if there's a discouragement that's setting in on people, like I'm in this place, I got dad, it's not working. We are in the business that overcomes that. Not many people can do that. Most people just have to work more hours. That's all they can do. We can be more productive. We can be smarter. We can do things. And that's not everybody can say that. So I really want to encourage you, when the mistakes people make, don't let discouragement get you, especially because of what we do and how we do it.
Yeah, it's funny you said that. My dad and I were talking yesterday about some people that were transitioning from an employee with his company into a more sales solo, you eat what you kill type, like business model. Right. And not everybody's wired for that, but oftentimes people want this huge amount of income that can help you get to your goals faster. Just like you said, but they're not willing to take on that risk. And so, you know, there are two kinds of people, and you know what, you guys, all these financial strategies we're teaching you work for both. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. I was aggressively able to reach my goals faster because of the model I put myself in, as well as the discipline I had in the area of finances to put more money away, to live on less, you know, to say no to that now so I could have more later. You know, I think all these principles go, excuse me, hand in hand together. But I love that you said that today, because you're talking to a lot of entrepreneurs here, which is why we're putting this together. Because I also want you guys to have the security and the safety that good financial planning bring you when you're maybe in a heyday season of harvest versus a planting season of not as much harvest. And so I think all of this is going to serve you well as you get that in order.
And I left back then, I left a $56,000, this is kind of, you're going to laugh how old I am. 30 years ago, I was making $56,000 a year in the steel mills with full benefits and full retirement. And I left that to take a zero salary, 100% commission from day one job. And everybody thought, like, you are the dumbest person there is. Now, and some of them were told me that too. But if I hadn't done that, Cammy, if I hadn't bet on myself, that's the person I was betting on. I wasn't going to bet on a CEO. I wasn't going to bet on a company. I wasn't going to bet on a product. I was going to bet on me. I felt like I'm going to take that bet. And had I not done that, like you and I, we wouldn't be where we are. So truly, the things I hear you say about people believing in themselves, bring that to your financial advisor. And if that doesn't get a potential financial advisor excited about serving you, you need to find another financial advisor.
That's awesome. Well, Bill, thank you very much. I know we're going to continue to work on a few topics that we would like to talk on together as part of this series. So we'll definitely do that. But again, I just want to thank each and every one of you for joining us today. I'm going to ask you to invite 1, 2, 3 people to take a listen to this, to take a listen to this episode so that they can also learn from it. And as always, sharing is caring. So feel free to put it out there on social media. We'd be happy to continue to encourage, equip, and empower others in the areas of their finances. And so thank you for joining us today, you guys. Rate and review this. Bill, thank you.
I love being with you. You know that.
Love you.
Thank you. Bye-bye, babe.
I know you enjoyed today's podcast as much as I did. Whether you are a newbie or a longtime listener, be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Until next time, I'm Cami Pentecost.